south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Feedback's coming in now on the seminar we just did. Ended about 2 weeks ago now. So far, all of it, and I mean all of it, has been super positive, like this one here. Coming right up. By the way, I'm mentioning this now because occasionally people send me emails or saying, is your seminar really worth it? After all, it's a chunk of change and a week or so out of your life. Got to get those passports and airline tickets in order and all that. So it's not without a little schedule juggling and a little hassle. You have to take time off work, that is if you work or are working for the man. Arrange for people to feed and walk the dogs and maybe even feed and walk your kids. Again, to leave the country for a week or so does take a little bit of organization. And I appreciate that. Anyway, so let me dig in the pile here and read this response from Lady D. No, not that Lady D. Our Lady D at the seminar. She says, hola, Johnny. I got the blues the day I flew out from the seminar. Problem is, she says, those poor Uber taxi drivers don't know how to handle crying gringos that don't want to get out of their cars and go back to the States. Gringos and gringas like me. She says, do please put me and my husband, Sergio, down for your next Expat Insider seminar trip. I'm signing on as a repeat offender. She says, my husband, Sergio, has to hear it from you all. From you and your team, your crew. Jose, Captain Mango, Chase, Rita, and the rest. My husband's got to come down and see it for himself. But in the meantime, I'm up here in California prepping. Getting all our ducks in a row. I'm starting to work with lawyer Jose's team, too. To get all my paperwork in order. Then she says, I know you're not fond of hearing compliments, but I just got to say it anyway. You're not just some voice on the radio. You are a savior, Johnny. Thank you for turning on the light bulb and showing us a way to remove our blinders. I'll never be able to pay you properly or thank you enough. Hope to see you all real soon, she says. Signed, Miss D. Well, Miss D, you're right. I don't take compliments easily. I never did. I guess all of us have a little bit of that imposter syndrome going, huh? In fact, just the other day, I was listening to a YouTube with a world-famous neurosurgeon. He was saying that all his life he's had imposter syndrome. I guess it's okay as long as he doesn't tell you that right before he's going to operate. That could be a deal-breaker, huh? Anyway, so there you have it, a sample of one of the post-seminar emails that are coming in. If you're wondering why I'm reading any of these, well, it's in case you've been wondering or sitting on the fence thinking maybe you'll come down, maybe you won't. Most people, you know, need a little nudge. Now, before I get to a boots-on-the-ground story that'll blow your mind, blew mine, I'd like to report on some very interesting Latin American news tidbits that came out just in the last week that you'll never see up in the first world media. This one posted in Colombia's largest national newspaper on March 30th. And I'll translate here. It says, Florida man steals entire container of Columbia-bound Samsung smartphones worth $1.2 million. Sends boxes full of sand instead. Let me read parts of this. It says, a cargo handler working at the Miami International Airport was arrested last Sunday after a cargo container full of Samsung smartphones that were headed to Bogota, Colombia, were stolen. The phones were swapped out and replaced with each box loaded with sand, along with a number of lone sandbags. The revised pilfered container was then sent on to its destination in Bogota. Then it says, one Eduardo Miguel Rivera Paz, a 37-year-old man who worked at DHL for Worldwide Flight Services, was arrested after he was caught on camera stealing $1.2 million worth of Samsung mobile phones from the shipment identified as AAX9568, as posted on the packing list of the container. It says the crime was not discovered until the shipment actually arrived in Colombia some 4 days later, when an official from DHL Express found that the cell phones were replaced with sandbags and individual phone boxes filled with sand that weighed exactly the same as the phones themselves. So when the container was weighed on its way out from Miami, there was no reason to suspect any foul play. However, a few days later, a subsequent police investigation led them to the video footage of the DHL warehouse in Miami, linking the DHL facility worker to the crime. Warehouse footage shows Rivera Paz at the container, taking pictures and videos of the outside and inside of the box before leaving and coming back to the container with another man who has yet to be identified. The other man later loaded the boxes onto a forklift, depositing them into another container. Then it says, as of now, the stolen phones have not been recovered, nor has Rivera's accomplice been apprehended. All right, there's more, but that's the gist of it. Now, my comment is, and probably yours too, what an idiot. He didn't have an exit plan or a ticket out of the country. Come on, a guy working for DHL knows there's cameras everywhere and he's going to get caught, or at least identified. And if he had skedaddled south of the border, immediately after the theft, he'd have had some chance of getting away with it. Well, that's what certain people do, you know, when they commit a crime. They head south of the border. They call it going on the lam, but you knew that already, right? By the way, you have to know by now that down here in Latin America, they do huge business on stolen phones. Phones are by far the most stolen item in all of Latin America. That's probably a worldwide statistic. In fact, on my very last show, I mentioned how if you ask the average Latin American young lady, adolescent, young adult, whatever, any girl that rides public transportation, she'll tell you she's had her phone stolen 2, 3, even 4 times. And believe me, it does no good to report the phone stolen, though people do it sometimes. Locals, not so much. Gringos, expats, and tourists, yes. They get all pissed off and think they're going to get some satisfaction at the local police station. They won't. It's a waste of about 2 or 3 hours. The cops don't care. They don't even pay attention. They'll give you a form to fill out that you might as well use for kindling. They'll go through the motions just to make you think they're doing their job, but they're not. Problem is, down here, stolen phones are big business, and the cops have long since thrown in the towel on it. You can tell, because on practically every street corner, there's a little kiosk that says they'll unblock your phone, which means they can completely reprogram any phone. What they're basically saying in not so many words is they've got stolen phones for sale. Even the cops buy stolen phones. Then again, they buy stolen or black market gasoline, too. But that's a topic for another show. We'll get to it. Now, I have to say, I've probably bought stolen phones myself. Unwittingly, of course, but when you buy a phone at a place like that, a good percentage of them, especially the used ones, are of dubious origin. It's don't ask, don't tell. And if you do ask, they'll most certainly lie. You longtime listeners probably remember me saying I did have my phone stolen once some 25 years ago. That was the one and only time. I've been very cautious since then. That's why it's been 25 years since I've had an incident. I'm just one of those rare persons living here in Latin America that hasn't had his phone stolen in recent memory. Because I take precautions. I'm not an idiot. I don't buy really nice expensive phones that are targets, nor do I walk around using my phone in public places, nor do I have it sticking out my back pocket halfway like most people do down here. Funny thing, too, that's the preferred method of carrying a cell phone by most all Latina ladies. You know, they all tend to dress very sexy with very tight jeans, like they're spray-painted on or they've been poured into them. Hey, I'm not complaining. No one complains down here except maybe the clergy. However, that just means when you're walking behind any girl or any group of girls, you'll see a definite outline of that smartphone, a well-delineated silhouette through those pants, with half the phone actually poking out through that pants pocket. And every time I see that, and I see it all the time, I keep thinking to myself, man, if I was a bad guy, if I was a crook. In other words, when will the ladies learn? Answer, never. And about that constant radiation going back and forth from the cell tower to the phone, well, let me tell you, scientifically speaking, there are millions upon millions of slightly radiated butt cheeks in this part of the world. And it's likely that only maybe 1 in 10,000 ladies down here know about that microwaving effect. The other 9,999, if you happen to bring it up, won't even know what the hell you're talking about. They'll think you're nuts. My advice, don't even bring it up. Don't bother to explain. But I digress. Where were we? Oh yeah, talking about how I probably bought quite a few stolen phones myself. I figure that's the case because every cell phone I've bought in the last 25 years has been a used one. I don't really care about all the bells and whistles. I'll take a basic one. One that's not the latest model, so it's not expensive, maybe a year or two old. What do I care? I've only got 2 or 3 apps going. So after I've dropped my phone 1 too many times, broke the screen in 6 or 7 places, I pop into one of those kiosks, check out what's on display. Fully knowing if I buy a used one, it's probably been nicked, wiped, and refurbished. But of course, the guy selling the phone will never admit to that. Put yourself in my shoes, though. What am I supposed to do? Spend an extra couple hundred bucks to get the latest, greatest, brand new one in a sealed box? a phone that I don't really want. It makes me feel a little bit sad every time I look at it because it's got 50 features I'll never use. Or should I go down a few notches and buy a phone that does everything I want it to do but has no bells and whistles? Now, of course, there's always a chance it's not a stolen phone. I like to tell myself that. Same thing happened in the bad old days, I'd say 10 or 15 years back, when there were lots and lots of car radios getting stolen. I had mine stolen twice. I mentioned that on a past show. And of course, you don't want to leave a big hole in your dash or pay a couple of $100 for a brand new one. You go down to the big old market, to an area where they sell loads of car parts. And you'll find a replacement radio, all right, a perfect fit. In fact, sometimes it could be such a perfect fit, even the length of the wires, that you could be buying back your own radio. But that was then, this is now, and that's not happening anymore. Which brings us back to the reality that more and more cell phones are being stolen every day. Of course, it's because these days, a person's cell phone is their whole existence. Even worse, their social status often depends on the kind of phone they have. Isn't it funny? Turns out down here in Latin America, practically every child of the rich and their parents have an iPhone. And the average person, doing pretty good, generally use Samsungs. Everybody else, people living day to day, including domestics, maintenance guys, cleaning ladies, and shoeshine boys, they use the cheap, no-name or off-brands, or an older beat-up Samsung like I use. Oh, and in families, there are lots of hand-me-down phones, too. You know, mom or dad gets a new phone or changes phones because she dropped it in a puddle or got robbed, and the rest of the phones in the family get shifted down the hierarchy. Down here, though, it's true that phones give you your status. In fact, I've been called out a number of times by Latino friends and acquaintances. They say, why do you have such a cheap old raggedy phone when you can afford anything you want? You're a gringo. And when they call me a tacaño, you know, cheapskate, I have a pretty standard answer to that. I tell them, I'm the tacaño, the cheapskate, who hasn't been robbed in 25 years. How's life working out for you? All right, speaking of robberies, I don't know if you've seen this article that's going around the internet lately about a 17-year-old kid from L.A. who says he spent 17 months cycling 20,000 miles from Alaska to Argentina. Turns out he passed through 14 different countries and was robbed just once. Guess where? Mexico. And what do you think they stole? His wallet and his cell phone. The question is, was it guts or stupidity that made him want to make that ride? Well, I think a little bit of both, but you know, it never would have happened if that Chinese surveillance app, DikTok, had not existed, because his entire intent was to be a DikTok star. So he had his cell phone out all the time, posting little videos on DikTok, amassing $8,000 in donations. Remember, this guy's 17 years old. You have to wonder if the guy's parents are brain dead too. Sure, I'm all for traveling, see the world. It's the best way to get an education, better than any college degree. But to do it just to get that 15 minutes of fame on TikTok? Man, there's a reason why the Army likes to recruit teenage males. It's a well-known fact that their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed till they're around 25 to 28 years old. All right, moving on. You know, I like to talk once in a while about Ecuador, since international living and all those other expat rags have kind of turned it into the expat Costa Rica of the 21st century. According to International Living, AARP, and all the expat rags, it always rates either one or two as the best expat retirement destination. Of course, all those expat rags have an ulterior motive. They're trying to sell you something, like real estate. But you knew that already, right? So anyway, as you know, as gringos pile into an expat destination, so do the scammers, grifters, bad boys, and no-goodniks. Which, oddly enough, has had a kind of a positive secondary effect in Ecuador. At least according to the latest news reports. Let me read part of this. The title of the article, and it just came out on April 3rd, President Lasso authorizes gun ownership by civilians and issues new states of emergency for certain crime-infested areas. So, in other words, because of the huge increase in crime in Ecuador, President Guillermo Lasso has authorized the carrying and use of firearms by Ecuadorian civilians. It goes on to say, in a Saturday night TV broadcast, the president cited rising crime as a reason for rolling back a 12-year-old rule that made it almost impossible for private citizens to legally own guns. Nope, not anymore. That happened just a few days ago, and then came the wokesters in the op-ed pieces dissing the president, saying that was the worst move possible. Although several local Latino organizations praised the move, critics, many of them gringo expats, said the new rule will lead to increased violence, while others called it a political stunt that will have minimal impact. So anyway, I checked out some of these posts done by gringo expats living there. About 90% of them died in the wool anti-gun wokesters. And you know, Latinos tend to believe gringos more than they do their own intellectuals because, well, it's the gringo advantage and everything first world and gringo is bigger and better, right? So anyway, you got these idiot clueless gringos like this guy named Robert who wrote an op-ed post saying, every criminal that has been robbing us in Ecuador at knife point will now have a gun by the end of the month. If they can't purchase one legally because they've actually been caught in the past, they will just step behind someone with a gun. We'll put a finger in his back, tell him to raise his arms and give me your gun. I wonder if the NRA, he says, was one of the financial backers of President Lasso's campaign. Then another idiot who goes by the pseudonym John Locke says, this news about legalization of guns in Ecuador is really bad. Cuenca expats are the most likely to first get those guns. Gun-wielding gringos in Cuenca likely means it will be even more dangerous here than it already is. Et cetera, et cetera. That's what you get in the idiot, clueless, English-language gringo expat press. Doesn't matter, they got their facts completely wrong. Hell, for every fact, there's an equal and opposite fact, right? And of course, all the woke universities in Ecuador are against it too. For example, University of Cuenca rector Maria Augusta Hermada and vice-rectors Leonardo Espinosa say that study shows the use of firearms increases homicides, femicides, suicides, and social violence. Adding, we object absolutely to the decree and urge the president to reconsider it. By the way, the only problem with that statement is it's completely wrong. However, the unwashed masses tend to believe that crap because it comes from university professors. And down here, unlike in some other countries, people with advanced degrees are looked upon as sort of all-knowing, enlightened beings. In fact, all the universities, they're woke, you know, here too, are piling on board. For example, the Polytechnic University rector, Juan Gardines Tapia, says, the new gun rules will exacerbate conflicts and violence in our country, causing serious consequences for citizens and disharmony in our society. He said it was the government's responsibility to provide security and law enforcement, not the citizens. Now, there's a novel concept, the government actually protecting its citizens. Oh, and as far as the wokesters' statement, more guns, more crime, studies do not show that. They show just the opposite. By the way, in case you didn't know, and of course those woke idiot gringos don't, I just looked up a site called crimeresearch.org. An updated article entitled Murder and Homicide Rates Before and After Gun Bans. First paragraph says, every place that has banned guns, either all guns or handguns, has seen murder and violent crime rates go up. In fact, it says you cannot point to one place on earth where murder rates have fallen, whether it's Chicago, D.C., or even island nations like England, Jamaica, or Ireland. Then it's got page after page of charts and graphs and data to prove it. Now, of course, people often talk about assault rifle mass shootings. They're on the increase, of course. And that's a different kind of crime altogether. It's not an assault or robbery. Seems like every couple days you see one of those in the news now, right? Funny thing, though, so-called assault rifles are banned, yet people use them for mass shootings. How's that possible? Well, for one thing, journalists mislabel them. They don't know what they're talking about half the time. By the way, mass shooters are almost always on some kind of psychiatric medication or under psychiatric care, which disqualifies them from getting any kind of gun at all. Oh, and back to Ecuador. No civilian for the past 12 years has been able to get a gun legally. Well, isn't it funny that practically every day in the newspaper and on the internet, social media, and the wire services, there are multiple reports of assaults and robberies perpetrated by bad boys, usually two on a motorcycle, using a gun. Wait a minute. Didn't we just say that guns have been illegal for civilians to own for the past 12 years in Ecuador? Something's wrong with that picture, huh? Duh. It's that old cliche, that old chestnut, that's been proven over and over to be true. When you outlaw guns, only outlaws have guns. But you knew that already, right? Oh, and here's something else you didn't know. 12 years ago, when guns were outlawed in Ecuador, they also outlawed pepper spray. Oh, what a brilliant solution to the crime and wild dog problem, for that matter. You gotta wonder, what brain-dead, shit-for-brains politician thought pepper spray was a lethal hazard? Not that you weren't able to get it shipped in through Amazon or eBay and such. You could do that all day long. After all, this is the third world, you know. But just think about how idiotic that is. Yep, Ecuador, nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. So then what's their problem? Let me count the ways. Number one, you've got mental midgets in Congress. Number two, you've got mental midgets in the judiciary. Number three, you've got mental midgets in the executive branch. Sound familiar? I thought it might. By the way, that reminds me, you know, people have been asking me about CBD oil. You know, lots of people use that for arthritis and pain and, well, all kinds of problems. Fact is, though, it's illegal in practically every Latin American country. Not that it's a restriction that's ever enforced. It's just that with the lag time down here, people don't even know what the hell it is. And that includes every last person in government. Meanwhile, I know lots and lots of expats and gringos who get CBD oil shipped through them through their Miami mailbox. No one's ever been called out on it or had it confiscated. However, just a little tip here. To be safe, I wouldn't travel with it. In other words, if you're flying from, let's say, Chicago to Guatemala City or Panama City, San Salvador, I wouldn't advise putting any of it in your luggage. Why? Well, not because they'd call you on it if they searched your luggage. They wouldn't know what it was. But I'll tell you, I've been to Tucumán Airport. That's Panama's international airport. And I've seen sniffer dogs walking around with cops every single time. And you don't want one of those guys to sniff out one of your CBD vials, right? If that happens, I can promise you, you're going to miss your connecting flight. Now, I'm sure we're going to hear of a case or two where that actually happened. Though I'm pretty confident if you do get caught, and if you have on hand an actual printed copy, the actual website information, you know, what it's used for and all that, it says right there, you know, it has no psychotropic effect. It's all for functional medical use only. But still, you don't want to be the test case for those sniffer dogs. Why take a chance? I know, if you haven't opened those bottles, they're supposed to be hermetically sealed and therefore innocuous. But you never know what they came into contact with in the factory or the storage facility. You know where they make that stuff. They got cannabis products laying around everywhere. So again, if you use CBD oil, don't fret. You could ship it down, but don't bring it down yourself personally. Oh, and I almost forgot. We're on that popular subject of Ecuador. All those gringos and expats love it down there. Or do they? Anyway, I've got this report that just came out on Friday, March 31st, coming from the most popular Ecuadorian news service. I just have to read this one. It's for the books. The title says it all. Police defuse a bomb strapped to a guard, put there by suspects demanding money. Now, if that doesn't pique your interest, I'll read a little more. It says, Ecuadorian explosive experts defuse a bomb on the streets of Guayaquil, Ecuador, that criminals had strapped to a security guard after his employer refused to pay protection money. That, according to police and media sources. It says, a video was released by the police late Thursday. The man is seen with packages taped to his chest with tubes and wires sticking in the air. It says, onlookers took video and photos from a safe distance while police covered the man in a protective vest and helmet and led him away to deactivate the bomb. The man came out of the ordeal in good health, the police said, though obviously shaken. Shaken, not stirred. Well, maybe stirred, too. It goes on to say, those images were widely distributed on social media, showing the man pacing up and down the street, putting his hand to his head in great anguish, waiting for police or help to arrive. Meanwhile, Police Chief Faustino Salinas wrote on Twitter, I congratulate the courage and professional work of our police officers and the anti-bomb explosive team in successfully disabling the explosive device. So he's congratulating them for doing their job. Anyway, it goes on to say local media reported the victim was a security guard at a jewelry store, taken away when the owner refused to be shaken down once again by extortionists. Then it says, Ecuador is becoming more and more a violent country. Crime waves blamed on local gang rivalries. Kidnappings and extortions are commonplace. Goes on to say, Ecuador is sandwiched between Colombia and Peru, the two world's largest cocaine producers, and has itself become a hub for the global drug trade in recent years. It was also announced earlier this month, letter bombs were sent to at least five prominent journalists working on drug and gang-related stories. Also, just this month, police found three human heads wrapped in black bags in Esmeraldas, a coastal province plagued by drug trafficking. Which is why it's not hard to understand when you read the comments section below this article. About every third comment says we need a president like Bukele in El Salvador. Hate to say I told you so. For example, let me read just one of these comments. It says, the El Salvadorian president does not have these issues anymore. President Bukele's got it right. We need to clone that guy. Meanwhile, and here's my dos centavos, the U.S. remains a cesspool of crime and stupidity. By the way, I'd just like to know, does AARP or International Living mention this kind of stuff when they promote Ecuador as the first or second most popular expat retirement destination? I kind of think the PR department leaves that stuff out. Now, we're getting to the end of the show, and I'd like to lay out a nice show capper for you. You listeners are all smart. A lot of you are smarter than me. So, you all definitely know about Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum, right? We know that's a twisted organization. We've heard some very bad things coming out of there, right? Well, here's what you didn't know. The World Economic Forum, that Nazified stick man, Klaus Schwab's baby, has just come out with its approved list, its picks, for South America's top five retirement cities for expats. Why they're offering advice to expats, I don't know, but you have to hear this. According to the World Economic Forum, here are some of the best cities in South America to spend your retirement, considering such factors as cost of living, healthcare, safety, and air connectivity. Number one, Cuenca, Ecuador. Surprise, surprise. With the World Economic Forum noting that Ecuador has a combination of good climate, environmental and cultural diversity, at an affordable price, which makes the country one of the best places to retire for Europeans and North Americans. That, according to Charles Schwab, and his You Will Own Nothing, Eat Bugs and Like It, Nazi Henchmen. Number two, Santiago, Chile. Number three, Mendoza, Argentina. Number four, Barranquilla, Colombia. Number five, Montevideo, Uruguay. So, if you happen to be a contrarian, these would be the five South American cities you'd never consider for your Plan B destination. Nice places to visit, though, but I wouldn't want to live there. Now, I realize some of you follow Doug Casey. I do too. And he lives in Montevideo, Uruguay, at least part of the year. But remember, he's in his late 70s. Well, I'll tell you, it's like he says, it's a place so far off the beaten track. If you want to live like a first world person and have a variety of amenities and first world shopping, forget about it. Maybe that's where you want to be if the shit really hits the fan. I mean, like with an EMP strike where everything goes down. But if the world just implodes in a slow and measured way like it's doing right now, I'll tell you, Montevideo, Uruguay is one of the most boring places in the world. There's just nothing to do. So if that's your choice, you better have a lot of hobbies. Though, I guess most 70 or 80-year-old first world people would settle for just lounging around doing nothing. But I kind of doubt a lot of you listeners have that as your life's trajectory. Or do you? Some people I know feel if they even hit 70 or 80 years old, they deserve to sit around the pool, watch the sunset, and suck down margaritas.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.